DJC.
N4DJC, KB4CPA. How you doing, Jerry?
David, how are you? You sound like you must be out, maybe headed back home or somewhere else.
Central Lee, double FTA here on the computer here on the radio. And I just heard you throw your call out there.
You're not mobile then. That, you had a little white noise in the background. It just sounded like your normal signal. So since you're doing FT8, then you're obviously inside. You're perfectly legible. You had a little white noise on you today that you don't normally have. FT8 is something interesting. I haven't tried that yet. That's on my list of things I'd like to do, but probably never will. You know how that is.
Which is the first time I heard about it. I didn't think I'd ever try it, but it's kind of addicting.
You can do a lot of things with a lot lower power on with FT8 than you can normal modes or even CW for that matter. It seems to get, you seem to be able to make contact each. Of course, it's not the same as voice or CW, but gives you a little bit of an advantage if you're not running an amplifier or something like that.
I mean, you know, I've made contacts in Australia and Japan, places I haven't been able to talk on sideband, so. It's just interesting. And you hear these little islands that you, or I see these little islands I've never heard of. I have to look them up on the map to see where they are. it's kind of funny, but anyway. There's like, I can't remember the name of it, but I made contact with a little island. It's right off the northern coast of Venezuela, and I can't think of the name of it, but I had to look it up because I had no idea. Never heard of it.
Some people are using it on FT8 or one of the digital modes on 2 meter side. I mean, 2 meter, 2 meters as well. And when these band openings happen, it's just pretty quick. They can, when the band openings come up on 2 meters or even on 6 meters, they can get in and out in a hurry and exchange the call signs and, you know, count as a contact.
Just, you know, you have a 15-second window here, and so it only takes, 45 seconds to do the whole shebang.
This radio, this is just 10 watts here. The radio is capable of handling FT8. It's got settings in it. It's got its own Wi-Fi network, local area network. So there's a lot of things you can do with this one you can't do with the, you don't have to have all the bells and whistles like you do on the 7300. It does it, a lot of stuff they do, it does internally with this 705. It's kind of like a 7610 in that regard. There's a guy in Germany who's actually got a remote app set up for the 705 and 7610 icons that really makes it, makes it something else. It's about $90, I think. And like I said, I haven't gotten involved in it yet. And I'll do something when the weather warms up. I can throw an antenna out the window or something, and get an in-fed half wave and see how it does, see how the noise is on it. If the noise is pretty decent, my location, I'll try to do a little operating maybe, and maybe move to FT8. But right now, I'm just enjoying my 2 meter stuff and my satellite. And I still do a little work on 2 meter sideband, but it's not only when there's a little bit of an opening, because you don't do much for 10 watts on 2 meters. You really have to have a kilowatt to do it this time, you know, this time of year.
Yeah. Well, and did I hear you say there's a guy in Germany that makes amplifiers for the 7300 or the ICOM.
I'm sorry, I misspoke. It's an app that you can run on a Mac, Mac computer, and he's even coming out one you can run on an iPad to remotely use the 705 and 7610. It won't work on a 7300, David, because the app requires the radio itself to have a local area network, and the 705 and the 7610 are the only, I don't know if they're the only two, but there are two of the ICOMs that do have that, but the 7300 doesn't have it, so that's what he told me. He said, I can't make one for that because it's got to have the radio's got to have its own Wi-Fi network, and those are the only two ICOMs that I'm aware of. Now, the 9700 may have that too, but I'm not sure.
My 7300 here, because I can just plug a cable in, and I happen to have one that fit it. So, and then it goes to USB into my computer here, which I'm getting ready to throw in the trash. I'm going to buy another one. This one, it's a Windows 8, and it's driving me crazy. It when it works, it's good, but when it don't work, boy, it'll drive you insane.
Have any Windows computers? I've got a Parallels that I run while I run Windows on the MacBook Pro. But it's kind of a kludge. It's not as good as having a regular Windows computer. It makes it a lot harder to get the connections up and running and that sort of thing. I just use it for. Really, the only thing I use it for, David, is just for radio programming software, because nobody makes anything for the Apple-based OS. It's just Windows-based. But like I said, this remote program this guy's making for the ICOM that works on the Mac, it's a really nice setup. I've seen it, and I haven't made the jump to try to buy it yet, but I may do it. When it comes over the iPad app, I may do that, because that'll make it a little easier. And that way I can do everything downstairs and leave the radio upstairs, which I can do to some extent with Bluetooth, but it's kind of at the range of, Bluetooth limitations are not about 40 or 50 feet, so I can't really... I can pair this up with my AirPods, for instance, and I can transmit and receive, but I can't change the frequencies. But I also have this radio also has a Bluetooth app where you can do some of those things with it, but it's not as comprehensive as it needs to be able to tune around. But this new app this guy's got, he will be able to do that. So I'm going to probably give that a try. Maybe when the winter, after the spring or something, when I have a little more time to really get him, get the gist of it and learn how to use it.
Back to my signal here. I'm using a J-Pole, and this is an old Kenwood mobile rig. It's a TM231A. And I'm on mid power, which is 10 watts. And I'm not sure what high power is, but it seems, I think my SWR is off, and I just took the meter up to it that I got from a guy that he gave it to me, and I don't know why he gave it to me now, because it doesn't work. But anyway, I probably need to check the SWR on this thing, but it's not very high in there. It's just sitting on top of the roof, and I can't even let it go up to the, I think it's called the gable at the top of the roof, because it'll be seen by the HOA, and then I'll get in trouble.
I normally run a 25 watts with other radios, but this one, I'm only running 10 on this one now, and I'm running mine through a five-element log periodic. Mine's just sitting on a stand that I've made from PVC inside upstairs bedroom, so it's not great. It works okay, but it's not great. It'd be a lot better if it was higher and up and outside, but I don't have a homeowner association here, but I don't really have a good way of mounting it on the roof without, you know, attempting to make a big mess of it, and I don't want to attract any attention either, because I just don't want to attract attention. There's nobody else in the neighborhood that has, you know, the hams, and they don't have any outside antennas anyway. And I'm down so low, David, I probably need to put up either real high on the roof or maybe add a better tower up, and I'm just not going to do that at this point in life. I may at some point in time maybe put it outside somewhere and mount it on the ridge line on the roof, but I'm not 100% sure if I'm going to do that or not, you know, considering the cable runs. And I'm only about 400 feet from the lake Hall, so my elevation is only about 600 feet. So about 700 feet. So I'm barely above the water line here. And being down in a hole, I can hit the repeater okay, but I don't. You know, it's not 100% all the time. It's not. It'll be full bright most of the time, but sometimes it's not.
Seem to hit the repeater pretty good. And I don't know what I sound like because I haven't heard myself. I heard a recording of myself talking on this radio, but everybody says it's, you know, I'm solid into the repeater, so I don't like having white noise on my signal, but you know, there's not a whole lot I can do about it right now. So anyway, but I guess as long as I can key it up, people can understand me, I guess I'll just leave it like it is for the time being.
Audio is perfect. The audio is great. Kenwood's always have good audio, and the audio is great. It's just a little bit of white noise in the background. It just doesn't sound like your typical signal when you're mobile, and it just maybe, you know, J-poles are not bad, but you know, some of the other ones are a little better than J-poles are. A lot of them just don't have any gain. Something like a comet or a diamond was a dual band was only about 4 feet tall. That'd be a great antenna. You know, they have some tiny radials on them that help a little bit. But those generally receive and transmit really well, and so do Ringo Rangers. I got a Ringo Ranger. It's not a dual band. It's just a, you know, 2 meter one. But those comets and diamonds make really good antennas. You can hide those things in a closet if you want to. They'll still, you know, if you got any elevations, all they still or in an attic. They do a really good job for most people, and you can run 20 or 25 watts and, you know, get into it really well, unless you got something in your attic that's blocking it. Most people don't, though, but you know, it depends on what the insulation is. If you got any insulation under the roof, which most people don't have, unless you got a metal roof or something like that, they work really well usually.
Missing is the sound of your mufflers in the background. M4WHM.
I can always add over, you know, I can just do a loop recording and just put that in the background here that makes you feel better.
Yes, y'all were talking about this, that, and the other, and antennas and white noise, and you being in the house, and I'm like, it was just this, it's just that muffler noise. I mean, you can hear them rev it up, but I'll let y'all get back to it. This is Bill over in Harlow. Good talk to you, David. Good talk to you, Jerry. Y'all have a good one. M4WHM, I'm clear.
Don't run away that quick, Bill. Good to hear from you. I heard y'all earlier this morning. Couldn't come up and give you a shout. But, David and I we're just back and forth. But it is, that throaty rumble is missing from the transmission.
It's pretty obvious when I'm mobile. I guess the only time it's quiet is I'm sitting at a traffic light or I'm just at a cruising speed, it, you won't hear it. If I'm on the flat ground and not having to accelerate, but if I have to step into it a little bit, go up a hill or something, it'll start growling at you. But anyway, well, I'm just sitting here making contacts. I don't even know where this place is. It's, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right. Bonaire, Bonaire. I pulled that one up. I think I've made contact with somebody on that one before, but not this particular guy, because all your contacts that you make light up red on the band activity side, so you know you've contacted them, so you don't have to hit them again, unless you just want to, I guess.
Not much about that, David. I've seen the YouTube videos, how that stuff works, but I don't know a lot about it. On air, yes, that's, I'm not sure where that is. To be honest, it sounds like it's somewhere in the Indies, but I don't have any idea. That may be off by 2,000 miles. Who knows?
Just look it up here in a minute and tell you. I've got QRZ pulled up here. And, do that. But anyway, I'll go in here and see where this place is, because I'm curious. Anyway, go ahead and I'm having to hit the map thing here, and I'll have to zoom out to see what it's showing me. KB4CBA.
Jump out of here for a minute. Anyway, David, I'll check it out to see where it is. I've heard it before, but I don't have a clue where it might be. Yeah, good afternoon. I'll probably holler at you a little bit later. I got to go downstairs, and man was up here. She asked me a question or two from downstairs, and I need to go down there and see what's going on. Talk to you later. N4DJC, clear for the minute.
North of Venezuela, right next to the right of Aruba. All right, 73. You have a good one. KB4CBA. N0TR, KB4CBA. How are you, Tom?
Good afternoon. You sound a little muffled, but you're in there okay. You sound a little different than usual.
Talking on my rig at the house, so it doesn't hit the repeater quite as well.
It's the mufflers, M4WHM.
All right, Bill. Long time no hear. Good to hear you, buddy. Oh, we're just leaving the daughter's house. Went over there and took a TV set that we give them, and Scotty's going to try to fix it. It had a little panel fall down in the back of it, and he's been pretty good about that before, looking at YouTubes. He's not a technician. He is an engineer, however, my son-in-law. So he's going to try to fix that, and you'll have him a free 65-inch TV. But Amy helped me with some computer stuff there with this new computer I got here a while back that I never had figured out. And we're just headed home now. Go ahead, Bill.
Like you've had a busy day so far, and if your son-in-law gets a free TV out of the deal, then sounds like he got paid well.
I think Tom is, might be his lucky day. You might need to go buy a lottery ticket or something. Yeah, Bill misses the mufflers. I guess I'm going to have to go get my car to talk to y'all, so Bill will feel better about everything.
That old stud horse has got the battery in it to support that. shoot. Well, the grandson got rescheduled to go to that BMW driving school that he got cheated out of, shall we say, the last time. That's when that ice storm and snowstorm come in, and he got one day, and they canceled the second day, so he gets both days over in June now when he gets out of school. So that's good. He was pretty happy. He showed me some of his airsoft guns, Bill. I'm telling you, you wouldn't want to step out in front of a police officer with one of those things. They look like the real thing. I'm not too crazy about them, but that's just the way it is nowadays. Go ahead, Bill.
It's just the same as a real one. I can't get over it. A friend of mine's son that I camp with a lot, his son is heavy into it, and he's got some airsoft guns he paid $1,500 to $1,800 for. And they go to these big meetups somewhere outside of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And you can rent rides in little small helicopters. So you can shoot at people from the air. And what makes it so good is it is 100% illegal to shoot back at the helicopter. So, I don't know. I guess if it's worth the money to you. But his dad pays a lot of money for that stuff. And for WHM.
Brings it out to the car or something. Yeah, these aren't that expensive, but guys, they just duplicate any of those, anything. He had one there that looked like a .45 Colt. He had one there that looked like a Derringer. Well, looked like a .25 ACP. And he had one there that sort of resembled an AR-15, but it's some other model, H&K or something. all I can say is that's where two fools met, but you know how kids are.
So the gun show.
They look real, that's for sure. I wouldn't want to get in any clash with the local law enforcement. Well, you know, that's how that 12-year-old up north died. He had an airsoft pistol. And it just, to the officer, it looked real. And the boy pointed it at him, so they say, and the police officer shot him, so they say. And the bottom line is, the little boy died, and the police officer ended up losing his job, so there's nothing to play with, except on the ranges, that's for sure.
That's a dirty shame, but I've heard of that happening. That all goes back to parental guidance. He should have been cautioned against that, but kids will do what they will, even if they do have parental guidance. But I don't like paramilitary weapons anyways in civilian hands, but that just makes me old-fashioned. Because there's millions of them out there, and I got a lot of friends that's got them, and they're good, sane people, but that's what they like. I noticed one of them there. I said, Isaac, you wouldn't want to step out in front of a police officer with that. He said, oh, I know, Tom, or Grandpa. He said, I said, well, you don't have the, they're supposed to have an orange thing on the front of them, but you can take it off. They even had a thing there that looked like a silencer, and when you put it on there and you use a certain type of airsoft projectile in it, it makes them into tracers as it goes through it. It has some kind of UV light that excites it, and so you got tracers then, Bill. that way the cop knows where to shoot back, I guess. Yeah, shoot, they go down by Anderson and play games with it, I guess, every now and then. But a sign of the times, KB4CBA and 0TR.
know, I mean, it's, you gotta use common sense. I wouldn't even point my finger at a police officer, let alone anything else. I mean, you know, good grief.
I agree, David. When you got a job, a job that allows you to use deadly force, I listen. How about you, Tom?
I've never been mistreated by a police officer, as long as you cooperate, and I think that's what happens 99 times out of 100. I'm sure there's bad eggs and everything, but for the most part, I'll have to go with law enforcement. And in fact, I belong to the Sheriff's Association, but just as an honorary member, but you comply. They're not going to bite you. They're out there to help you. My God, first place you holler for if you get in an accident is for highway patrol or sheriff. They're saving your lives. So I don't see it. Well, guys, it looks like that front's starting to move in. It's starting to turn cloudy in the northwest. I'm getting a few little bitty sprinkles on the windshield here. Dave, go ahead. This is Enduro TR.
Kind of stuff I don't want to hear, because I haven't been on a tennis court in over a week, and I'm about to go crazy here. I mean, I need to get back out there. I was chasing my grandson around and around the house here, and and it was actually a chore for once, and I realized just not playing. It's been over a week. I'm getting out of shape.
Come around for a while, you'll be back in tennis shape there in just no time at all. Because if he's young and full of vinegar like most are, he can run all day.
Well, I guess we've had a couple of coronal mass ejections and that, but in the last week or so, I've been working quite a few stations in Africa, Swaziland and the Ivory Coast, and I can't remember what the other one was right offhand. Three or four of them, anyways, out there on CW, but had a really, I bit in more than I could chew the other night, Bill. I can run about 28 words a minute. I heard this guy transmitting pretty fast, and so I thought he was just running DX or something. He was in Texas in November, probably a 5 CW. But anyway, it turns out, Dave, he was in a Chevrolet Volt. This is NZTR Mobile. And he had a screwdriver antenna, I think it was. And he just talked when he was on the way to work. And I brought him up on QRSN and said, if you just want a 599, don't bother calling. And he started doing just a conversation, and I had copied his call sign wrong. I'd say he was running a good 35 words a minute, and I didn't get the second N in there, and so it wound up with a guy someplace else. Anyways, I went back to him, whatever area he was in there in Texas, and I think it was Texas, but wow. Talk about a tremendous CW operator, and he just wanted to write you. This old man, it was disconcerting, because you get above 30 words a minute, and you got to go to M4IQ or somebody of that capability. But it was a good workout anyways. My arm was plumb tired by the time I got done. Go ahead, Dave.
B4CBA. So, have you ever heard of the Kingdom of Eswatina? Yes, it just went on the screen. It scrolled right off. Well, anyway, I'm seeing if I can make contact with him. I don't even know where that is.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the... It's a country that they changed the name on recently. I worked him a couple of times, so... It's been a couple of months ago. Eritrea or something like that. It's in Africa, Dave. Go ahead.
Make contact with South Africa, so it's not a big deal. All over Africa, Western Africa, Eastern Africa. Signal's kind of weak. Look on the waterfall here, but I doubt I'm going to make contact. I might as well just click off of this because it's not responding. Let somebody else have a go, as they say. Well, anyway, they just came up. That was kind of interesting. But, dang, every time I get a good transmission spot, somebody takes it. I don't know anybody FT8 if you have to constantly move around the frequency you're transmitting on, because, if you're not just constantly transmitting on it, somebody will take it from you. And they can. I mean, it's open season.
Well, Dave, it's a little bitty country, kind of over to the right-hand side towards the coast, as I remember rightly. But I'm out here in the car. I can't tell you what the... It was another country, and they renamed it. But it's very small. Go ahead, Bill.
Just talking above my head. I don't understand FT8 or DC4 or WD40. None of them. I barely can work the microphone.
Got it. I'm starting to feel sorry for you. I'm going to have to go out in the car, get the car warmed up, and make you feel at home.
Good.
Yeah, David, it's a very small country, and it recently got renamed. But again, I can't tell you the name of it. It's just one of those things. I got Estonia in my head, but I know better. That's a Russian. It is in Africa, and it is small. But there's been several operators there. Maybe it's the same one. I don't know. Quite a lot. Here in the last 6 months, shall we say. I haven't seen it recently, but I worked in, on CW on several bands. But, Africa's got quite a few countries stuck around in there, Bill. Go ahead.
I'm still working on the basic HF. I went out and activated the park today and got my 10 contacts real quick and come home and turned on the radio, and here I am. But I did buy, there was a silent key auction up in basically Atlanta, and I bought a couple of microphones. I got a Kenwood DC90, Heil, like the old-timey microphones. Got a boom and a microphone, two microphones for the boom, and got it set up, and it's got a adapter for a foot key, so I ordered me a foot pedal. So I'm just still tinkering around. While y'all do that fancy stuff, I'm still trying to get established. M4 WHM.
Yeti, see if I got it. So how do you find out about the silent key auction?
I'm a member of, well, of course, of BRAS, but I'm also a member of the Athens, Georgia Radio Club and the Lanier Amateur Radio Club, LARC. which is in Gainesville, Georgia, and somebody had posted it to LARC and then cross-posted to the Athens Radio Club, and so I saw it there. It's been about a week ago. They had a final call sale, yard sale today, and had put out an email about it, but this fellow was sure enough a ham radio operator. He had hundreds of radios, hundreds and hundreds of pieces of test gear, you name it. That Kenwood MC90, the asking price was $25, and I didn't haggle a bit. I paid $25 gladly. I mean, that's a $260 microphone. So the Howl Boom was retails for about $100. I got it for $5. So I think I'm gonna. They're asking for some donations. I think I'm gonna send a little donation. I got such a good deal on the equipment I got, but it's through the listservs, David. If that kind of stuff interests you, I'll, as I get them, I'll pass them along. We unfortunately seem to get about one a month.
Appreciate that. My email address is on my call there on QRZ. I was just down there. I was in Atlanta. Tuesday and Wednesday this week, met with my sister. We were visiting my cousin down there. She's 97. And she's doing extremely well for 97. Her mind's clear. She walks on a walker, but she gets around very well. So she is a fall risk, but she's doing good. So, I tell you, it's just amazing. But anyway, so don't know when we'll get to see her again. And I sometimes don't want to wait until she passes away. She's a sweet lady, and we've known her all our lives.
You sound like you're doing great, Bill. That Heil stuff, I got a Heil headset. That's high-dollar stuff. You can't go wrong with that, I don't think. I've had the same microphone I had for many, many years on the HF rig, and I only do CW and sideband. It ain't highfalutin', Bill. It's been around for 150, 200 years. Whenever Samuel Morse was there, I can't remember the dates now. But I don't do that computer radio stuff. I don't even do RIDI anymore. I did a little bit, but we just don't like the sound of it. And there's all weekend there's a RIDI contest, so that's about all you're going to see on HF for the most part, other than computer radio, FD8, and all those other ones. But I enjoy it a lot because you have an input there, and you know, your antennas and everything, and the computer's not doing it. And I do it all by hand. I don't use any automatic keyers or nothing like that. Just old school. And I really get a lot of enjoyment out of it. The only time I do it, Bill's, I go down of an evening, and Bernice and I watch TV for a couple of hours before we go to bed. And I go ahead and turn the CW on while she's got whatever's on the TV going. And if I hear something interesting or see something interesting on the band scope, well, I slap the headsets on. Once in a while, I check QRZ during the day, and if I see something there on 20 meters or something like that, I go work it. But it's few and far between anymore for me, Bill. I've got 301 countries confirmed, and there's just not many out there I don't have. But I still work them every time just for the fun of it. Because usually it's a different station, even though it's in the same country, you know. And then again, you get guys on there, and they'll say, "Hi, Tom, I worked you back in, 2001, or I worked you in 1990-something, and starts up a conversation. And that's right. I talked to a guy in South Africa the other day. He says, "The last time we talked was with these computers, you know it instantly." But it's fun when they call you by name and know you. But that definitely, South Africa you're talking about there, Dave, it's far north of that. South Africa's been on a lot lately, on 40 meters on sideband even. And I've talked to him many times. Go ahead, Dave. We're home now, so I'm going to make this my final. And I'll just go ahead and sign out, guys. We're pulling in the driveway. Pleasure hearing you both in 4WHM in 0TR Science Rebuild.
It's time. I hope you have a safe trip between the truck, car, and the front door. Now that you've made it home safe. 73s.
73's Tom and Bernice, make him behave. Oh, me. Well, Bill, I guess I'm going to pull the plug here. I made a bunch of contacts and been talking to you and several others here on 2 meters that probably, yep, it's getting close to time I'll have to run out and pick us up something to eat. We eat early. We don't really eat lunch. We eat an early supper. So I don't think we have anything in the fridge to warm over. So I guess we'll either be going out or I'll be going out to the drive-thru.
Good talking to you, David. Glad you got some contacts, and glad I got to hear you on 2 meter. So maybe I'll catch you when you go out on your drive-thru run. Hear them mufflers roar. I can always tell it's you before I even hear the voice. So have a good one, and be safe. And while you're doing it, have a little fun. N4WHM, I'm clear.
Bill? Well, I just pulled you up here on QRZ. Good picture. Nice picture of you there. And I'm just scrolling down looking at all your pictures anyway. Alright, well, you got some nice equipment there. Wow. And anyway, it's been good to talk to you, and I'll try and if I go out to pick something up, I'll be sure to give you a call on 2 meters so you can hear the roar. Alright, you have a good one. We'll talk to you later in 4WHM, KB4CBA.
My friend, talk to you down the line.
KU4RFF Mobile.
WHM, KB4CBA. And 4WHM, KB4CBA. Bill, you around? KB4CBA mobile.
Him. I got you there, David.
For you, buddy. To miss out
things in life that just keep us all happy, so just don't get no speeding tickets and we'll both be happy.
KB0 KBJ, what's going on down there today?
I'm going out to get some an early supper. I'm headed to Mr. Salsa. Go ahead, Bill.
sitting by the radio, watching the wind pick up out the window, and tinkering with a few little electronic toys. Not much at all.
Yeah, and I've just been poking around on the Echo Lake out of 15 stations I got there. You guys are the only ones that got the noise on the frequency. So, I figured I'd hop in and say hi. Just hanging out here in the shack myself.
I'm coming in, putting some noise on the repeater. It's a little scratchy all the way around. And when I talk all over in Gainesville, Georgia, it's the same way. So, weather will do what it wants to.
Pretty threatening here. Where I'm sitting over here in Taylor's. Boy, I guess I'm going to be playing tennis Tuesday night. I'm going to have rain now and below freezing temperatures at night.
Now that could make it slick. What's the wind up to? When do you guys say it was windy? What's that looking like?
Gust up to 10 here in Hartwell, Georgia. And it's 52 degrees with a dew point of 19.
Well, here in Taylor's, I don't really have a weather station, but it's 50 degrees. And it looks like there's a slight breeze, but nothing to speak of, but it's... Looks like the clouds are moving in.
Yeah, let's see. Here it's... Oh, I don't know. 15, 20 mile an hour breeze, 20 degrees, cloudy.
Quite cold between the temperature and the wind. Good thing to stay in the house.
Yeah, that's why I have been doing that a lot lately. Kind of drizzled snow all yesterday and didn't amount to about an eighth inch, maybe. So I wouldn't really call that a snow. Enough to make tracks on the ground, that's about it. We had rain Thursday. It was warm enough. That made everything icy. It's still that way.
Where are you located?
Eastern South Dakota. Yeah, you know how they are down there. I do too. I live there. I remember moving down there, not realizing how serious they took snow down there. And I was a lot younger. That was 25 years ago or something. And driving down the road 8 o'clock in the evening, playing around in the snow. Stopped at a gas station. Went up to the door. The guy had the doors locked. He was still back there. He was closing up. Well, finally, he come to the door after we rattled on the door enough. And he said, we're closed. And we looked at him with truly puzzled expressions and said, why? He said, almost offendedly, it's snowing. And we were like, yeah. Well, KB0KBJ.
It snows, or somebody drops a bag of flour on the highway, we shut down. I don't know why, but we just do. It's always been that way. Funny down here, I tell you.
Yeah, I know. You don't get enough. If you had more, you wouldn't. Because here, people are the same. They'd like to shut down, but there's more to come, so where are you going to stop, you know? I mean, the snow that hit the ground back in December's not left yet.
We have our moments. The last big snow we had, I call big, was back in 93. And I was working for the telephone company at the time, and it was starting to snow, and we said, well, I guess we better go in. And by the time we got in, there was already a couple of inches on the ground, and we ended up with, I don't know, 6 or 8 inches here, and North Georgia ended up with close to 20 inches. So that's the biggest snow I can remember here in my part of the country.
Yeah, I used to live up there in Greenville, Taylor's area. They had quite a bit at one time, I remember. I don't know. Depends on where you went, you know. You could have nothing over by Traveler's Rest. You could have 6 inches further away from the mountains, and then it drizzled down a few miles down to 3 and nothing again, you know. But, yeah. It's interesting how that goes. I think they said they had a foot there. I think that was one of the more memorable amounts at one time. So, talking about, I recall looking online, and there used to be a ski hill in Georgia. Downhill skiing, is that still there? Yeah, I thought there was one in North Georgia. I'm sure it would have been north, of course. I haven't done, obviously, no research on it, if it's there or not, or what, but I thought I remember there being one. Yeah, they had, well, I don't know, Sugarloaf, Ski Beach, Wolf Mountain. There's 3 or so up there in North Carolina. I went to Ski Beach a couple times. You know, actually, I was just reciting the other day to the guys on the job, because they were going down to Sioux Falls, 100 miles south, to a little 300-foot hill, you know. And I think Ski Beach is more than that, vertical drop we're talking. So we got one 100 miles south. We got one about 100 miles north or something. Here's a few, and then you got one 1,000-foot drop out in the Black Hills of South Dakota, but that's 6-7 hours west, you know, at 80 mile an hour, and down the interstate. Anyhow, these guys are going down to Bear, or Ski Bear, or something it's called, in Sioux Falls. And I got to recalling how many places I had skied, and I skied in 7 or 8 different ski hills throughout the country. I mean, we're talking from the Midwest to Washington, Oregon, to New England, to down there in North Carolina. And the only one I've ever hit up twice is the ones down there in North Carolina. All the others, I've just hit them up once and done on a trip or something, you know.
E4CPA. have one drop. Whoop, make that two, three. Whoop. Drops of water on the windshield here. Got a beautiful sight in front of me. I'm headed west on Wade Hampton, and I can see the sun shining through the clouds way west of me, and it's just really pretty, but there's a lot of dark clouds around, so and it's west of us, so that means it's coming this way, probably, because that's where our weather comes from. So, anywho, well, I just wanted to jump back in here, but I'm gonna bail out on you, because I'll, by the time it goes around again, I'll be in the garage, and, so 73s, and to all, and, yeah, I hope y'all have a good rest of the evening, and I'm gonna enjoy some, tacos here, or whatever it is we got. I don't know what we got. My wife orders it. I pick it up. Anyway, 73's KB4CBA.